saw that Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
On a beautiful day like today, we have a sense that all of creation is responding to that reality. It's much more difficult to embrace the joyous resurrection of Christ when the world outside is cold and dreary. But on a day like today, where the sun is shining and all is in bloom, we are more fully aware of God's involvement in all of creation. And all of creation's response to the miracle of the resurrection. Christ has been resurrected, and so has nature. Trees that just days ago were little more than stick figures, that to the unknowing and unexperienced held no hope of being anything more than that, are now in full bloom. Others are in early stages of new life, with small bits of green and red dotting the ends of their branches. Birds and animals have noticed the changes as well. They dart around with renewed vigor. Their songs cannot be contained. All of creation is responding, as if to cheer, in response to the news that death has been overcome. Alleluia, Christ is risen. This year, we can experience that with all of our senses. And we know again that God is looking at his creation and claiming it to be good. Out of the darkness has come light. Out of winter has come spring. Out of the grave has come life, and it is good, and we are thankful indeed. Somehow, though, there's a tension in all of this. There's a competition, it seems, between spring and Easter, so much so that the lines between the two have become muddled. And instead of realizing that spring is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace given to the world in the resurrection of Christ, there's a sense that Easter is another word for spring. Easter, it seems, now means happiness and joy, not based on Christ conquering death, but because we and nature have conquered, or at least survived, winter. Hallmark and other greeting card companies certainly affirm this new definition of Easter. Earlier this week, I was shopping for Easter cards, and it seemed as though every card I picked up was full of wishes for joy and happiness and coziness and bunnies and lots of eggs and merriment. Most of them had the word Easter somewhere on the front. I didn't waste my time with those that didn't. But most of the greeting cards that dared to include the word Easter on the front didn't follow up with any hint of the resurrection, or Christ, or his victory over death, his glorious resurrection. I finally found enough that fit in my greeting card guidelines, not too sappy, no bad theology, but at the same time acknowledging the fact that the joy associated with this occasion is more than the joy found from the temperatures now being in the 70s and not in the 20s. Or the joy found in our now being able to resume our gluttonous consumption of chocolate and other extravagances that we have avoided for the last 40 plus or minus days. At the same time, while this description of our culture and our increasingly polarized world sounds bleak, there's something to be learned in the middle. While we may find ourselves uneasy, uncomfortable, or downright unhappy about the fact that times and dates of Easter egg hunts are given first billing, and Easter services follow behind in small print, seemingly an aside, in case you were bored with the constant search for eggs and looking for something to do that might be good for you, although in no way enlightening, there's still something to be learned from Easter egg hunts. Something that tells us about God, about what God has done, is doing, and will continue to do. And moreover, something that we can use as a guide for how we are to live in response to the gift we've been given. Have you ever seen the face of a child at an Easter egg hunt when she or he finds an egg? Initially, all the children gather somewhat anxiously, clutching tightly the handles of baskets of various sizes and conditions. They stare down at the ground nervously, or they size up the competition, wondering who will find the first egg. Some of the most savvy egg hunters do not listen to the guidelines or boundaries. They're too busy surveying the area, looking for that lemon yellow egg poorly camouflaged in an otherwise green azalea bush. When the prize comes into view, a smug look of satisfaction creeps over the otherwise innocent, yet wily, face. And her eyes continue to scan the area for more, hoping that she can outrun or outmaneuver all those worthy competitors and be the first to grab up the egg. The competition is fierce. With age, it becomes fiercer. Younger children need a little direction. Their competitive natures have not been honed yet. They might even find an egg and share it with their neighbor who doesn't have one. When a three-year-old discovers an egg, the excitement and pleasure becomes visible throughout his entire body. Every pore seems to exude joy. His eyes dance and sparkle. His lips curl into a smile that is contagious. Every pore and every cell seems to overflow with absolute joy. He may even shout and jump up and down, sharing with everyone around him the good news. I found an egg! I found an egg! Look what I found! Isn't it wonderful? Share with me in my joy. And those gathered around can't help but be brought into the sheer excitement of the moment. Otherwise frustrated adults cannot escape this infectious joy. There is no wonder, Jesus said, unless you become like one of the least of these, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That kind of awe and wonder and uninhibited joy and acceptance is necessary for faith. the cynicism and skepticism that so often comes with age tightly nails shut the door to God's kingdom. The only way to enter fully into new life is to enter with reckless abandon, with childlike, not childish, childlike joy, an expectation of the unexpected. When Mary reached the tomb on that sad and somber morning, her expectation was that the body of her friend would be in the exact same spot it had been when they left, but in a slightly more permanent state. There was no way that she could have imagined anything other than that reality. Dead is dead. And 3 days dead is beginning to show signs of decay. Any rational, sane, thinking adult knows that. And yet, with God, all our sane, rational logic doesn't hold any weight. We can either say that the resurrection is not historical, that it's a metaphor, a myth, and we, as Paul notes then, are to be pitied above all. Or we can, with childlike wonder and amazement, enter the joy of God's act of salvation. We can exude our joy with every fiber of our being and let it flow out of our very pores. That sort of joy is contagious. That sort of amazement and excitement spreads. Go hunt eggs. Use the example of the children. Let their joy remind you of the gift that we have been given, and let that joy flow out into the world. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Amen.